We have been talking about the outlining preacher, and we want to continue that. That's the preacher who preaches from an outline, and in some sense, as I've said, we all do. We all do, whether that's in your head, whether you're following the biblical text, or whether you have your own written and prescribed outline for yourself. We all preach in an outline, or else we are a scattered mess. The old saying applies: if you don't plan to succeed, then you plan to fail. And so you need a scheme in terms of how, a schematic in terms of how you're going to deliver your message. Accomplish making your point. So I want to pick up where I left off. And of course, the goal, we want to be cohesive. We want to be logical. And most of all, we want to be effective. Outlining serves two purposes. It helps us. It helps the preacher, at least two, helps the preacher to think through what he's saying. And then it also helps people to understand and follow and remember. There are different ways, and this is kind of where we left off. There are different ways to think about organizing your message. Think about organizing it. We're talking about the homiletical outline. We're talking about the presentation. That as opposed to the exegetical outline, that's a Bible study outline. The theological outline, that's talking about theology and how we think about God and how God operates. And then there's the presentation outline that we want to put before the people, the practical. And so that's what we're concerned with. There's no better or worse presentation, but rather we're looking for the most effective way to do it. What's effective for me? Sometime effective, you may use something different than you normally use in order to be effective. But what is most effective is what we are after. I said that there are four homiletical aims to your delivery. Four homiletical aims. You want to arrest the people's attention. You want to call out the error of their ways. That's going to build tension. It's going to build tension. Then you want to deliver to them the solution, which is the word of God. And then you want to inspire them to walk in the word of God. I want to highlight this morning two ways of thinking about this outline, two ways of doing that. The most popular way, which we'll get to on next occasion, is, of course, the three-point sermon. But there are other ways, there are other outlines, there are other ways to think about it. And it's important sometimes to explore other ways. Sometimes exploring other ways solidifies and secures what you do, because you become more confident in that this way is best for you. Then sometimes being exposed to other ways help you to rethink about what you do. And helps you to say, okay, this is why, this is what I'm after. I've never thought about it that way. And so now I kind of know what I'm doing and why I'm doing it. And so it's good to explore some other things. One way is this called the HBLT. If you've been to the College of Biblical Studies, if you've taken their homiletical classes, their preaching classes, then you've heard the hook, book, look, and took. That method of delivery. And if you heard Pastor France, Reverend France Brown, then you know he uses the hook, book, look, and took method. And so the hook, book, look, and took is this, just this. You start off with what they call a hook. Most of the time, that hook is a story or some kind of illustration. It's something to, again, engage your audience, to pull them in, to catch their attention, right? And so then you take a look. We're going to go to the Bible and look at the Word of God, and we're going to see what it says about that. And then you do... You go to the Word of God, the book, that's the scripture, and then the look, and then you talk about how that affects believers and what we go through and all that kind of stuff. And then the took, that's your application, your takeaway. So let me do this. I hope I can get to the second one. I may not be able to. But in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 through 14, if you want to turn there, I'll read it. This is what I'm going to illustrate this by, this particular text. It says, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief." And any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. "But exalt one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end." So that's three verses, 12, 13, and 14. And so here's a passage that says, and usually I'll look at the verses and I'll kind of, after I've studied them somewhat, I'll kind of put a word there to each verse. And I'm just giving you my study methods verse 12 is basically talking about apostasy, that you depart from the faith. Verse 13 is basically talking about fellowship, that you exalt one another daily. Verse 14 is talking about perseverance, that you endure to the end. So I'll have these kind of big idea words there that kind of tell me where those verses are going. So let's put this in the hook, Brooklyn took method, right? So the hook, I'm going to say, here's a story. One lady that joined my church, actually a true story. One lady that joined my church, she stopped drinking. And she did, which she did almost every day. She drank almost every day. So she stopped drinking. She ceased certain other activities, and she learned what it meant to be a Christian. And then so her family did not like the fact that she changed. Even her children would say stuff like, you joined a cult. And so she faced these kind of things in her life as a result of the change that Christianity brought to her. Well, here we go to the book. God has something to say about that. Over in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 through 4. So read the scripture and go through that. Let's take a look at this. These believers were struggling with family rejection. They were struggling with job loss. They were even being persecuted for believing the message of Jesus Christ and for abandoning Judaism. So we go on with that, right? So we took a look at what was going on in that day. And then lastly, so you got the hook, right? The story, you got the book, we looked at the scripture, you got the look, this is what was going on in that day, here's the took. Your heart will deceive you.
All
right. This is verse 12, right? Be careful so you're not, look it up. Your heart will deceive you. Here's another thing, verse 13, the church will support you. Here's another, the third point, verse 14, your faithfulness will assure you. And so that's the takeaway. That's my preaching. Here's what you need to know. Here's what the text says. When you're going through family issues, you're going through family rejection, you're going through things that come upon you as a result of your faith, your heart will deceive you and tell you you don't have to do all that. Go on back to whatever you were doing. The church will support you. Come to church so we can admonish you, and so we can tell you, we can talk to one another, we can encourage one another to stay strong, keep the faith, hold on. Because your faithfulness, God will assure you through faithfulness that you're on the right track. That's the hook book looking hook book. My mouth is dry. Hook book and took method of outlining your message. And let's see, can we at least get started on another? So here's what they call the three act structure of preaching. All right. The three act structure starts with, of course, the same thing, an engagement of the audience. Right. So here's, for instance, same text. Right. And I start off by saying, will you agree that life is hard? Then there are some decisions that we make that seem to make a hard life even more difficult.
Amen. Amen.
So right there, you've been engaged, folks. Folks pretty much want to hear that. You gotta be careful how you structure your initial statement to pull people in. That statement will pull people in. All right. So then you move to what they call three jabs, and you go into a right hook. Right?
What you say?
Here's jab. Here's how the jabs work. You say, so we've said that life is hard. And it gets even harder by the decision we make. I decided to move to another state and start fresh with my career, and my family took it personal. They said I was abandoning my mama and just being selfish. Or you realize that some of the extracurricular activities, you know what I mean, in your life, were not wholesome for you, nor were they helpful. So I stopped doing them, and my friends don't understand. They don't really call me no more. They don't want to hang out with me anymore. That's jab two. Statistics say that most people die in the religion they were born in because the weight of pressure that's on them if they choose to go to choose another faith. That's jab three. Here's the right hook. This is the very nature of Christianity and what these Hebrew Christians were facing as a result of their decision to follow Christ. So that's how you pull the people in. You hit them with things that's going on in their life. You're hitting your audience in every which way to engage them, to build that tension. And then you hit them. That's what Christianity is about. So you take common things. These common things that have nothing to do with Christianity in and of themselves, and you connect them so that they can see that, hey, you're going through the stuff. Rather, Christians go through this, and then God gives the answer in the scriptures. And then once we move on to the solution and talk about what's in the scripture, you're going to come out with something like those same ideas that we gave you before. Y'all see that? Let me jump down, since bell had not rung yet. You look down on the paper, you'll see that sermon can be named several things. Look at the title. Just a few suggestions. Faithful unto death. Got to be faithful unto death. Oh, here you go. The danger of desertion.
Yeah, all right.
Pull from verse 1, right? For the endurance. That this is for the rest of my life. My belief in Christianity, my change, my choice for the rest of my life. Terms of enlistment, what does it take? Here's what it takes. You need to take heed to your heart because your heart will deceive you. You need to be in the church because they will encourage you. That will help you stand and help you stay. You and then finally, you need to endure to the end because that's the only way that you save. That is what's going to assure you that you really belong to Christ. You see it in the text. Is there?
Yeah.
Is there? And so I'll end with this. You want to build, and I'll talk about this more as I talk about this 3-point outline. You want to know what you're talking about.
Amen.
And you want to state what you're talking about.
Yeah.
The main idea. You want to make it one sentence. Exactly what you're talking about. What am I talking about? Here's a suggestion for this text. Faithfulness brings assurance of salvation.
Yeah.
So what am I talking about? You got the what? The what is faithfulness.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
Right.
I'm talking about being faithful. How do I be faithful? I take heed.
Yeah.
Lest my heart deceive me.
Mama.
Right? I encourage one another. I encourage others and others encourage me. That's faithfulness. That's coming to church. That's being connected to the saints, being with the body of Christ, right?
Yeah.
And then I endure to the end. I stay faithful.
Yeah.
Faithfulness is what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And then what about faithfulness? It brings assurance.
Yeah.
It will help you to stand.
Right.
The more faithful you are, the more sure you will become about your faith.
Yeah.
And so you want to state that again in one simple statement of what I'm saying. Here's what I'm saying today. I often do that in my thesis. I said, here's what I'm getting at. Faithfulness brings assurance of salvation. And then I would proceed to my points. You see that there are many ways that you can see this statement and many nuances from which to view it from. Here's an outline. Unbelief is the cause of abandonment of your faith. That's verse 12. Verse 13. You need the help of the church. That's verse 13. Verse 14 is your endurance is evidence of your salvation, of your faith. Here's another way. Same three verses. Your heart will deceive you. Verse 13, the church will support you. Your faithfulness will assure you. Here's another way of saying it. Verse 12, you have a propensity for deception.
Out of the ark of love quality.
Wonderful blood. Wonderful.
Good. God Almighty.